Ahoy, Vachon. How's the French say, Vachon? This is the Brown Briefly, where less is more, more or less, coming to you live over KVSH 101.9 FM, Voice of Vachon, your island connection. Please make us part of your day. And be advised that our assertions and views, which can modestly be described as progressive persuasion, do not in any way reflect the opinions of KVSH or Voice of Vachon.
Good morning, and welcome to the Brown Briefly. It is Tuesday, January 3rd, 2022. That was the voice of our founder and friend, Brian Brown. Though it sounded a bit there, Truman, like he'd come back from the grave. Yeah. a little ragged. He set the course for a tone of progressive radio as one of civil discourse, humor, integrity, and intellectual curiosity. We have five Brieflies gathered today via Zoom, and I believe two of them in our studios. Our sound engineer, captain of the airways, Truman O'Brien, musician, poet, and former professor, our own Georgia Peach, Lynn Kerrigan, activist, leader of Vachon Indivisible, and Clark Kent impersonator, Kevin Jones, and historian Bruce Hallman, fondly known here at the Briefly as the Guardian of the Galaxy. And I am Gail Kellner, your host for today's program. I have a poem I'd like to start us off with that I wrote on the eve of the new year. Actually, it was written in the first hours of 2022, in the wee hours, as they call them, of the morning when I couldn't sleep. Let's call it simply prayer or wish for the new year. The crescent moon sits just above the horizon, a golden cup thin as my grandmother's best china. Spill over, I beg, looking out through the window of time. The world needs your abundant blessings in the year to come. Run over with kindness. Drip your golden honey light out on the least among us. Remember the poor. But don't forget the little creatures, too. The clam waiting patiently for you to pull the tide in over the wet sand. The tiny single ladybug I found in my winter garden alone. The grebe with its slender neck floating on the night black waters. Ladle up all of us and hold us together. Long enough to forget our differences. Remember our shared humanity. Shine on our best ideas. Reflect our grandest hopes back to us. Pour out your bright light onto a troubled world. As for me, it is 3 a.m., dawn, hours away yet. I'd like to bring my pillow and nestle in your perfect curve. Dream of peace and a green, abundant future. Overdue justice. Rest with you for a moment among the stars. Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to this new year.
Indeed.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey,
we made it.
Yeah, sort of.
Sort of, yeah.
For you folks on Zoom, you kind of see Lynn's right ear and my left ear. We're trying to figure out how to get our picture a little better here. Since we were broadcasting from the Sunrise Ridge studio this morning, which is a little unusual for us, but we've had some technical difficulties at the Voice of Vachon, and we're busily working on them, but we haven't quite got them solved yet. So we're having to broadcast from up here for a while.
Yeah, and Truman kindly invited me to come join him here in the studio so I can look at this setup here. And the Zoom setup is very different. The camera is much closer and pointed right between us. So we're kind of toggling between the camera so y'all can see us.
We've got the left half of one of you and the right half of the other.
That's
a perfect hole.
Well, except that we have the wrong halves.
It's the upper half, I'm sure.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, no, I mean, we got the right half over there and the left half over here. I don't think so. I think we probably got to switch.
We might have to trade sides.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Persuasions properly.
That's right.
Truman, even in the Gene Bosch studio on Zoom, you're on the left. So,
that's right. That's right. What am I thinking?
Well, you know, truth be told, Truman, we've been pulling you to the left for a while now, and I'm going to say, I think with a little success.
Well, a little bit, maybe.
Well, you've certainly influenced me, I can tell you that, and expanded my thinking, and I'm grateful for it.
Well, good, good.
Okay, help me out briefly. My screen does not show Bruce, so Bruce, when you have something to say, just shout out, or please someone else recognize him for me. I know you're there, but you've got a lot of responsibilities guarding the galaxy as you do. So there you are. You're back. Okay. All right. Did any of you make a New Year's resolution this year, or as I like to call them, good intentions?
That's probably more appropriate.
Kevin, you want to start us out?
I thought probably I was missing something this year, and New Year's resolutions was something that I've kind of sort of like, should I dare broach a New Year's resolution? But I have a lot of good intentions and high expectations, as a matter of fact. The first one being about how to bring people together on the left and the right, and the fact that we are facing such divisive inclinations in the country right now. And it's intriguing to see where it's driven from. I don't think that individuals are driving this division that we're seeing. All right. I think that there are, strategies working behind the scenes. I tend to attribute them in my worldview to conservative politics and a desire to defeat an ever diversifying country, which tends to favor progressive policies and take the country in a direction that some in power would prefer it not go. And so there's various tools you can use to divide a population. And I think that we're under the influence of those. So I would hope to say that we can overcome that in a way that is constructive and adds value and allows us to come out of this time with more unity and more finding a way to see eye to eye. So I guess I would say that's where I'd like to start off in my mind.
Oh, thank you. Thanks, Kevin. And did you have a particular good intention amongst that beautiful thought?
My intention is to work to raise awareness of how important our democracy is and how fragile it is at the moment. As you know, I'm the creator of Indivisible Vashon, and our logo has the statement "Taking Action for Democracy." And so, as a matter of fact, on Thursday this week in town, people can help take action for democracy from 3:30 to 5:30. We're going to be gathering to basically have a vigil, a recognition of the insurrection that took place at the Capitol building nearly a year ago. And we hope to raise awareness that we choose democracy. And I hope that folks will have a chance to stop by and contribute their thoughts about choosing democracy.
Great. Will that be held in the usual spot?
That's going to be held in the great outdoors. Pardon me. Sorry, Gail.
I just said it in the middle of town, the crossroads of Bank and Road and the highway is the usual spot. But do you have is that where we'll find you?
That's where you will find a folks gathering. Yeah, I think of it, I always refer to it as the four-way stop in town. And it seems like it needs a more noble name. I've started to coin the Vashon Town Center as opposed to the Village Green, which is, of course, a completely different spot, only, maybe 100 yards away.
I like it. Maybe the Village Crossing. How about that?
There's another one, yeah.
That sounds very Bellevue, doesn't it? The cross.
Yeah, we hope not to be cross, of course. We hope to be inviting allow people to express their preference for a non-authoritarian form of government. We'll kick some names around.
All right, fun. That's 3:30 to 5:30, and I assume anytime any in between there or all are part of that, people are welcome to come.
Well, we'll be there for sure for an hour at 3:30.
Oh, 3:30. Okay, got it.
Yep. Yeah, at 3:30. And I will just double check the calendar just because, us aged ones tend to not always remember the times.
Well, come back,
3:30.
Go ahead.
Yeah, 3:30 to 4:30 Thursday, January 6th. we've a few people have not been said they weren't able to join us, but if the technology works out, excuse me, we hope to have the recorded voice to greet people as they arrive. So I hope you'll show up. And if you choose not to show up, there's some other things you can do. There's a virtual vigil later that day, but we'll tell people all about what's going on later on in the hour.
Okay, great. And at the end, let's swing back around. I know you have a couple other announcements that we'll be sure and catch before the end of the show, Kevin. Thank you. Lynn, did I see a finger?
You did. I was just going to ask Kevin if it was a reenactment and if we could come in costume. I have my pelts.
You'd look good in those Viking horns for sure.
I have pelts.
Oh boy.
I could wear them.
You could wear them, yes.
Is that a no, Kevin?
We hope to meet in peace, and I expect that there may be some divergent views arriving in town, but we're aiming for peaceful and no bear spray, no mace, no crutches to pummel us with. Show up with your voice and your good intentions, and we'll I'll be ready to go.
All right,
great.
Okay.
Well, to just keep the microphone for a second, I will just say about my intentions or my resolutions. I have been personally praying for power in all different kind of ways since my heat went out or decided to malfunction and not heat adequately on 2 days after Christmas. So I am just waiting day to day, trying to warm up and hope that we get some power sent our way, both in the literal sense and, Kevin, in the political sense of kind of capturing a little bit of in your insistence, which I really respect and appreciate, to bring this January 6th event back to the forefront, because I think it was such a powerful assault on our country that seems to be, being battled still every day with the big steel and the states trying to do voter restrictions and things that I think are terribly dangerous for our country. And it seems just like, I guess what I'll say is I hope for a better balance between our economy and the capitalism and the people with moneyed interest in this country and the democracy or the ideal of having all people served that live in this country. That's a strong experiment in the sense of challenging human nature to be acting out of our better angel impulses instead of out of greed. And I seek balance for myself and warmth for myself, while I hope that we can continue to articulate the principles of a liberal democracy, which frankly allow all this bad behavior in the name of free speech. So it's very ironic to me what's happening, and I will be there, Kevin.
Thank you for that, Lynn. And now we know the real reason you're in the studio this morning.
You know it. I'm
trying to get warm.
You know it.
I was wondering why she was snuggling up to me, so I couldn't figure it out.
Just so you guys know there, we can only, at least I, your camera's pointed, so we only see the very top of your head. So if you have something to say, you're gonna have to put your hand above your head almost for us to get. Oh, there you, we're getting closer. Okay, all right, thank you for that. Bruce, how about you? Good intentions, New Year's resolutions?
Yeah, well, I've always been one who believes that the things that hold us together as Americans are stronger than things that tear us apart, and that's been true through our history, even though we've had some very tumultuous times in our history. And I'm always drawn back to Abraham Lincoln's first inaugural address, when the nation's on the brink of the Civil War. And his very powerful sort of words just resonate with me every time. He said, "We are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies. Though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. The mystic cords of memory stretching from every battlefield and patriotic grave to every living heart and hearthstone all over this broad land will yet swell the chorus of the Union when again touched, as surely they must be, by the better angels of our nature. So that better angels of our nature, you know, we need to find that way. And Kevin is struggling to do that. And part of the leadership of doing that is find those mystic chords of memories that allow the angels of our better memory to sing together. So that's my hope for this year.
Poetically said. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Truman, do you want to weigh in on your good intentions?
I realize that I'm just a very shallow person. That's all there is to it. I mean, you folks are so deep, you know, with your thoughts. And I'm, you know, man, I'm just shallow. Like, I just heard that that there's a new place going in on the island here. It's going to be called Resolutions. The first 3 weeks, it's going to be an exercise place. And then after the first 3, maybe 4 weeks, it'll turn to a wine bar. So I'm thinking of investing.
Is that true?
No, I'm thinking of investing, though. I think it sounds like a good investment on my part. So.
It's a reflection of our human nature.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, thank you for that good laugh. I love that. That's really fun. That's really fun. Well, my good intention and New Year's resolution, and it's something I've actually started a little before the new year, but carrying on, is to learn to love winter. And even through these last, you know, several days, and particularly this last week of snow and ice, I'm succeeding by getting out in it, walking every day in the snow or ice, whatever it is, rain, it doesn't stop me. I go out into the forest and I just feel blessed when I'm there. It's the highlight of my day. And when I get a blast of cold, I just think, oh, just remember how hot it was last summer, Gail, and how this is like a cool, fresh breeze coming in. And then I've decided to change my mind. I love winter. Go ahead, Kevin.
You know, winter has always sort of, it brings change, right, from the summer when we are out more often. But I can tell you that just this morning, the little snow sleet combination that we had yesterday, of course, has created an ice sheet in so many different places, right? And I keep my driveway, I have a short concrete driveway up to the house, and everything else then is the dirt road. But if you don't keep the concrete shoveled of snow, it'll pack down and become a slip and slide that persists, you know, for days and days and days. Well, this morning, as I went out to the garage, that sleet has formed literally an ice skating rink on my concrete driveway. So I'm out there with the flat bladed shovel as an ice scraper. And I can tell you that I'm like turning my driveway into a banana daiquiri with all of the ice shavings.
All the slushy.
that I'm accumulating, or a giant snow cone or something like that. So all those unique aspects of winter that we otherwise would never see.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for that. That reminds me, when my kids were young, I would keep kind of a sweetened syrup, and we would make snow cones when it would snow. So we'd go out and gather fresh, clean snow, and the kids would make snow cones. It was quite fun.
I have to tell you, when I lived in Texas, you know, I only saw snow maybe, I don't know, half dozen times before I moved to Montana. And the big thing was always my mother would go out and gather snow and put, you know, sugar or whatever and make snow cones out of it. We always thought that was really cool.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. Yeah. Nature's delight there. Okay, go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, I was just going to say, I saw a snowman in my neighborhood with a mask on, which I thought was pretty cool. Yeah. And actually, on the way here to Sunrise Ridge, talking about those ice patches, there's an SUV in the ditch, actually straddling the ditch backwards right at the high school. So there's some form of heavy black ice right there at this time of day. So we need to still be careful and not zoom around so quickly.
Okay, thank you for that. Or maybe zoom around more. Kevin, go ahead.
You know, that reminds me, in my days when I was commuting here on Vashon, I was headed north of town to catch the ferry boat. And, you know, you're running for a ferry boat, you're always kind of pushing to, you know, make sure to not, you know, use every second you can to get there and not go slow. So, but I'm always watching the speed speedometer. All of a sudden, blue lights come on behind. And I say, you know, I was only like 5, 6 miles an hour over the limit. What's going on? Anyway, so I pull over and, you know, they go through. I'm looking for my wallet, for my driver's license, and up walks the sheriff, who basically says, you know, I just thought I should let you know that on that turn about a half a mile up ahead is covered with ice. And if you're going the speed limit, you're going to have a nasty surprise when you hit that
corner. Wow. Warning.
What a useful warning. Way to, to help us out. So,
yes. A wonderful story. Well, last week's program, we looked back at 2021 and the most significant events of the year. I was actually not with you that day, but I was, except as a listener, which is all important. And Lynn, you shared the election and seating in office of Biden-Harris administration and the local and national response to COVID as points in 2021 that you thought were very significant. Kevin, you spoke about the trial and conviction of the police officer that killed George Floyd and the kind of justice that we hadn't seen in this country before the Black Lives Matter movement. Bruce, you brought up the January 6th insurrection as an event that will go down in history books. And Truman, you were elected airport commissioner following your epic landing of your plane in the treetops.
Yeah.
As each of you turn your attentions to 2022, looking forward instead of back, what do you see on the horizon in front of us? And we're gonna start off with a look at our own little island floating here in the Salish Sea, someone poetically once described as 39 square miles of magic surrounded by reality. what lies ahead for us here?
Well, as long as we're talking about the airport, I'll throw in a couple of quick things. Thanks to Lynn Kerrigan, who a couple of weeks ago gave me an article, I think it was out of the New York Times, that talked about electrifying airports with solar and where they're using all of this open space for solar panels. It got me thinking, and I brought this up at a commissioner meeting about the what would be the chances of us installing solar panels on all of our hangars out at the Little Vashon Airport. And it went over very big. We're very committed to that possibility. And consequently, I've gotten in contact with a person from the state who's their solar person that lives here on the island. And he's going to be coming out, and we're going to take a look at that. So one of my goals this year is to try and get the airport solarized, as it were. I think that would be a great benefit for the island, and certainly a benefit for the local owners there on the of the hangars there at the airport.
God, that's great news! Thanks for pushing forward on that.
Yeah,
exciting. Thank you. Very excited. Anyone else? Anything on the local front they're watching in particular in the 2022?
Well, for me, it's really, you know, watching what's happening with this Omicron spike that's happening on the island. It's pretty interesting to watch how a community that all through 2021 was very careful, was sort of led the Puget Sound region and being having the lowest infection rate, the lowest sort of the highest, one of the highest sort of vaccination rates. And people were very, very careful. And all of a sudden, you know, Omicron has come along and has turned that apple cart over for us. Now we are four times the CDC recommendation for an extreme infection event, and we've had more infections in the last 2 weeks than we had in the previous, you know, 3 or 4 months, and so it's really interesting to see how Vashon will deal with this sort of process of moving from COVID being a pandemic to COVID being an endemic sort of disease like the annual flu. And Omicron is just one step on that way, but it's a big step. But will there be other sort of you know, zetas or betas or whatever coming along. I mean, it's going to be very fascinating to see how a community who sort of was a model for Washington State and for much of the nation on how to handle COVID all of a sudden has blown apart.
And I'm wondering, though, Bruce, how much of that is can be attributed to school starting and the kids getting back.
Part of it to school, but not all of it. That's what's in. Again, we're only starting to see the data coming in, but certainly there's been infections in the wrestling team and the basketball team, but also it's mainly attributed to travel, either people coming onto the island or people on the island going off and returning. Seems to have been the major vectors in which this Omicron has sort of come to the island. And so it's really interesting to see how the island's responding, you know, how restaurants and businesses and, you know, public spaces, you know, how they're going to respond to it. Because Omicron has just, it's highly infectious. It's not as virulent and it's not as deadly. But again, it's there. And so how are we going to make that transition to it being an annual flu event versus being a pandemic? And that's where the Vashon model has blown up on itself.
You know, though, I think, though, that we've also, haven't we increased testing considerably? I think that's one of the reasons that we have a higher infection rate is that we know more of the infection. Is that true or not, Lynn?
It is true that we're testing a lot more, but the test results are changing to reflect the circumstances with Omicron. In other words, what we're seeing is less deaths and more cases. Mm-hmm. And so what we're assuming, I think, is that a lot of the new cases, infections, are either from unvaccinated people or people traveling outside, as you said, Bruce, that usual bubble. Both those high school teams were off at tournaments, and they, you know, brought it back. And this actually would have been something I would have talked about too, because I've been at the test site working fairly regularly now up at the pharmacy, and our testing has doubled, and the the former rate of positive tests was really fairly low. We'd get, one out of 20 people might be positive. That's right off the top of my head and not accurate. But I'm going to compare it to 1 out of 4 is now positive because we have so many people, A, who remain unvaccinated, and B, that are congregating closely for more than 15 minutes in an unsupervised, unsafe way. And I think that, you know, everybody's trying to balance the mental health and the standard living, you know, things that you hope to be able to do and grow up with your teams and all of that, with the need to try to keep safe and keep other people safe. And I do agree it's a scary time, because it seems to me that people's tolerance, you know, for so much isolation and so much difference has gone down. Even on Vashon, you know, and I think we're just, you know, at a risk point.
One thing, I've gotten absolutely militant when it comes to the anti-vax, whole anti-vax movement, and those folks who are, you know, deniers and blah blah blah. But and one of the things I've been saying is, you know, this darn virus can mutate into something really nasty. But you know, I've had another thought. And that is what, with Omicron being less virulent than the Delta, for example, I'm wondering, is it possible that in order for this virus to survive, it's going to become less and less virulent as time goes by? And that, you know, I read recently, well, everybody's eventually going to have Omicron. I mean, you know, it's just the nature of the beast. But what if this thing actually is mutating to a less virulent strain, so that replaces the more virulent versions. You know, it's just something to think about. Well, and I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. I'm just saying, you know, that maybe that's a little bit of good news on the horizon.
I heard Fauci speak to that day before yesterday, who basically said he thought it was premature. It was too early to sort of throw in the towel and say everybody's just going to get it. He thinks that we just need to continue being vigilant about our vaccines and masking and distancing, and that you're right, it could continue to mutate in a helpful way, but it could also go the other way.
Sure.
So I think, you know, we're not at an end point.
No. And Truman, that's the traditional trajectory of diseases. You know, when European diseases came into the Americas, you know, when American diseases came back to Europe, I mean, they were very, very deadly initially, and then they gradually, because the nature of a virus is that if it kills too many of its hosts, it kills itself. You know, I mean, so that's the trajectory. But as Lynn pointed out, I mean, certainly it's moving that direction, but there's always the opportunity for other variants to emerge from other parts of the world or here and spread that would be even more virulent. And so, yeah, so we're moving the right direction in terms of a major sort of infectious disease, but we're not there.
Right. I agree.
Thank you for that. Well, on the state level, what can we look for in 2022? Is there any stories in particular any of you are following?
Well, just to go back to, it wasn't last week that we thought that perhaps Captain Joe could take over the the volunteers of the or the Coast Guard that would be brought in as the National Guard. Well, I proposed this to him, and he was all for it, except he really wants to run the whole show. I mean, he wants to run the whole ferry system, not just the Coast Guard part. And he said if he ran that place, it'd be straightened out within a month. And you know what? I believe him.
And we would all benefit from that.
Indeed.
I was listening to Governor Inslee speak at a meeting of tribal leaders, a meeting that was hosted by tribal leaders in LeConnor. And he said something that I really, really resonated with me. He said, in Washington State, we are all the salmon people. And he renewed that commitment to the state of the health and recovery of the salmon populations. But of course, support the whales and is reflective of the health of both the land and the Salish Sea. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that rolls out in 2022. And I find it very interesting because salmon are the connector, the weave between the water and the land, between Eastern and Washington and Western Washington. With the major rivers of the Columbia and the Snake on the eastern side, and then, of course, our oceans and inland sea here on the west. So I'm looking forward to see how that continues to move. And that's been something that's actually been visible in my life here. There was a time when the little creeks here had nothing in them anymore. And we were beginning, when I walked recently down to Fern Cove and up the trail there, and could see little salmon in the assume there were salmon. They possibly could have been trout, but you know, little fish swimming in protected waters, and it was so heartening. Anybody else watching anything on the state level? Lynn, go ahead.
This is not quite the state level, but let's call Seattle Watch in that category of what's happening within the state. You know, Bruce Harrell assumed the mayorship starting January 1st or 2nd, I think. And I just think it's going to be really interesting to have somebody have at it about the crisis in homelessness that Seattle is dealing with, and the kind of trying to re-knit together Seattle, which has had quite a fracture, you know, of the different kind of factions and peoples in Seattle between the Black Lives Matter and the way our government works and the homeless population. And we've got a lot of challenges, and I respect Bruce Harrell. I don't know him personally, but I've watched his politics, and he kind of seems to be a centrist who's very skilled at working to get things done within the city. And so I'm kind of hopeful that somebody else is going to be able to make some inroads there, just kind of based on his style and his history, you know, of being able to make things work. I think that's his focus. So, you know, I hope that we will find some solutions to that, whether it's more tiny houses or better affordable housing, you know, requirements for any development, that kind of thing. We've done that kind of thing before, and we can do it again.
Thank you for that, Lynn.
Well, yeah, I'll jump in, Gail. I'm looking forward to the legislative session starting up here. January 10th, I believe, is the first day of session. it will be largely virtual again, possibly both houses, both chambers, which means that access for people who don't easily get to Olympia is improved. And you can basically go online and say that you support legislation. My personal contribution to that is there's a group of us with the Washington Indivisible Network who are paying attention to environment bills and climate bills. And I would hope that we see a bill that didn't go forward last year, which would have basically instituted very significant improvements in building efficiencies, which is our number two source of climate pollution in the Seattle Puget Sound area. I hope to see that move forward. There's also at the state level this year, a proposal to change building codes to make buildings more efficient. And of course, the Vashon-Morey Island Chamber of Commerce, their last meeting in December, endorsed the proposal for King County building code improvements to reduce climate pollution. So those are the things that I hope to keep an eye on at the state level. And fortunately, all of our listeners can participate if they choose. There's ways to do that. If you show up at our meeting on the 19th of January, we're going to talk all about that. That's Indivisible Vashon. If you want to join in, you can go to our webpage and find out how to join the meeting.
Thank you for that, Kevin.
Just a quick question, Kevin. There was this whole big natural gas thing down in the Tacoma Flats. What happened with that? You know, there was a huge outcry about that, and then it just kind of went silent. Did that continue, or is it stopped, or what happened with that?
Yeah, you broke up a little bit, Truman. Was it the liquid natural gas facility?
Yeah.
So they're now, they just completed their first round of lawsuits. And I actually haven't heard the analysis of what happened in that first round, but I was assured that both sides plan to appeal. So it's going to be held up in litigation again for a while. I don't know if the facility is operational at this point, or whether the lawsuits have halted that at the moment. Meanwhile, in the Tacoma Tide Flats, there are policy reviews of basically new construction and new fossil fuel-based infrastructure. And those are now facing severe limitations, apparently, in the new policies that the Tacoma Council has now imposed. However, that does not preclude possible expansion of existing facilities. And I heard was reading an analysis just the other day that not only could Puget Sound Energy, if they're allowed to go forward with their LNG plant, they would be allowed to expand it, as well as many other refinery cities in the area. Like Puget Sound Energy, while they are talking about moving to 60% clean electricity by the next 4 years under the Clean Energy Transformation Act, they're also saying that they need to build a new fracked gas peaker plant somewhere in the state. Try to figure that out, right? This came up because while there's a lot of restrictions going in place, existing facilities are still able to expand. And so that's a way that a utility could very quickly add more fossil fuel consuming electricity generation. So we're keeping close eyes on that. Lots of people working dedicated many, many hours to keeping track of what's going on there. And hopefully we can move ourselves away from those fossil fuels to a clean energy economy and stay on track with that.
Okay.
One of the things,
Kevin, go ahead, Bruce.
Yeah, one of the things I find interesting to keep an eye on, and sort of state, regional, national, is the Snake River dams, and the sort of progress that is being made there to build a coalition from the right and the left to look at removing those dams. And that's a potential camel's nose under the tent in terms of getting political factions that don't agree on much to begin to see some common elements that they have and that they can potentially, yeah, there's the camel. Kevin's holding up the nose of the camel that's trying to get under this tent. But yeah, so it's really fascinating to watch where relatively conservative Republicans are beginning to look at removing the dams as a potential way to enhance the environment and enhance the economy of Eastern Washington. And so it's sort of healing, finding ways to heal that sort of gap between Western Washington and Eastern Washington, between the liberal sort of Pugetopolis and the relatively very conservative, sometimes very conservative Eastern Washington. So there's hope out there. Kevin, what's your view of that?
Well, it's a couple of things. Also, you know, the I think U.S. Congressperson from Idaho is actually spearheading the effort because the Snake River and originates, or at least flows through Idaho, may originate in Canada. I haven't looked. And then it forms the boundary between Idaho and Northeast Oregon before it flows into Washington State. And so there are a whole range of diverse political people on the political spectrum, if you will, coming together to look at this. I can also say that Doug Howell, who was one of the principals behind the work with Puget Sound Energy to move them towards renewable energy, has just accepted a position to work to remove the Snake River dams, and to his focus is protecting the salmon. And as that iconic species that has so many interrelationships in the Puget Sound area, he said he regrets having to work on climate mitigation accommodation. He regrets having to shift to work on climate accommodation because he always felt that mitigation is what we should do. If we can mitigate the climate disaster, we don't have to accommodate the climate disaster. But he said because of salmon that are at such a tipping point that he needs to move to climate mitigation, mitigating the effects of the climate crisis when it comes to this particular species. So good on him. He's a very powerful and capable organizer. And I hope that he is successful in contributing to so many folks trying to get the Snake River dams removed.
We're coming down to our last few minutes. Leave about have about two. I wanted to make sure, Kevin, you made any final announcements that you wanted to make.
Just again, this Thursday, January 6th at 3:30 at the Vashon Town Center or the Vashon Crossroads, whatever you prefer. We'll be there for about an hour, so I hope you stop by later that evening. If you go to the website Fix Democracy First, you will find that they have an event later that evening, which will basically have several speakers from around the state. I believe they're coordinating with the League of Women Voters and other notables like that. And so you can hear their views about the current state of our democracy and their hopes for how we can basically retain the democracy that we've been given as citizens of this country, as members of this country. So, hope you'll have a chance to participate in one way, shape, or form in those things.
All right. We have a couple minutes left, so I'd like to hear from any of the Briefleys if they have anything on the national, international, or galactic scene going forward in 2022 that they want to keep an eye on. Go ahead, Lynn.
Just quickly, Kevin, I just sort of want to comment on that use of the word, you know, we inherited this democracy, and I would just say we're fighting for it. We are still fighting for it. We fight for it every day to kind of keep it healthy and keep it open and accessible. to everybody, sure, not just people that have money. So there you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely. Totally
and,
agree.
Thank and you, the man. James Webb telescope is going backwards in time to try to capture the origins of the universe, which I find amazingly ambitious. If all we had to do was to go to time travel was to turn around and go the other way, I'd have done it a long time ago.
And if we all still right. have a second, there's a news item from 2021, a human brain wirelessly connected to a computer, which will allow folks who are not able to, with their brain, exercise muscle movements to be able to imagine walking and to be able to indeed do that. Wow. So amazing advances we can look forward to.
Wow, that is fantastic. All right, guys, we'll see you all next week. Have a happy new year.